So we've been through nama, and we've been through sabbanama, gunanama, or sabbanama anyway. So just to recap, we've talked about da, which is the third person pronoun for he, she, or it. If you go to page 27, we have da, masculine and feminine. And I think I mentioned it, but let's put down here on page 27. Let's talk about the KYT system. So K, do we have underlined? K equals question. So king, not karaniyang, that's actually a bit of a misleading. The K in karaniyang doesn't mean anything. Karaniyang means it's from the root kar, which is to do or to make. So king means what? King actually should be kang, but it's irregular. Pronouns, as you can see, they're pretty irregular. But this should come from kang. This should come from tang. So besides king, which is an exception, the rest of these T words, you can just change them to ka, and instead of that man, it means what now? What man? And so if you have, instead of sa, you have ka. Ka means what female thing, or which female person. And you notice that in English we have similar. Similar in English is the WWT, right? So for questions, instead of that, you replace the T with a W and you get what, right? I guess I'll put this on a new page. Y equals relative, T equals co-relative. Okay, relative, co-relative is important to learn, a little bit difficult, I think, for Westerners to understand in the beginning. It takes a bit of getting used to, because we aren't as formal in English with our relative correlative clauses, and we certainly don't use them as much as we do in Pali. In Pali, this is very, very common, far too common for an English speaker. So with relative would be young. It's young. And correlative is just the ordinary dung. So I'll be able to point this out to you probably pretty quickly when we move to back to translations again. But like the word yadi. Sang. I'm not quite sure if I've got the spelling there correct. It might be short or long where I haven't put it. But this is a relative correlative clause. It's a bit of a... It's a bit confusing because you don't know what this word yadisang means. But ya is the form that we're looking at. Ya and ta. So ya means what or which, but it's not as a question, right? It's a relative. And disa means like or sort. So yadisang means whatever sort or whatever kind, that kind of thing. What kind? Bijai, wapate is the verb here. Wapate means to sow or to plant, to spread, I think. Bija means seed. I think it's a short I. I'm going to go short I for now. Better look it up because I don't want to get this wrong. And in fact, it's long A in that. Okay. Yeah. Disang wapate. What did I do?
Okay. Would you give an example of a relative and correlative in English, just as a refresher?
I was going to, I had the idea to do this first and then give one in English, because actually this is one, you know, this is something we can go in English. I'd rather give it in Pali first.
Okay,
because
thank you.
In English it's a little bit, it's not as clear. So let's start with clear here and then try to find examples in English. So what, ya is what, da is that. So whatever sort of seed one sows, that sort of fruit one will reap. Is it harate or harite? Harate. Okay, so if you translate this into English, it means you reap what you sow. You see how even when we say you reap what you sow is a relative correlative clause. It's just hidden. So if you say you reap what you sow. So what you sow, is the relative part. You reap is the correlative. And it should be that. In English we would say you reap that what you sow. We just omit the that. They do that sometimes in Pali. Sometimes they omit the word that as well. But more often than in English, they will leave it. But we do say this in English, right? You reap that what you sow. It can get very complicated, very confusing, and difficult to translate. These are really one of the hardest problems for translators. New translators, especially in Pali, because they can be as convoluted as this. You reap that what you sow. Like if you look at yo so bhaga wa or so bhang. Yo so bhagawa. This is both of them together. So is the correlative. Yo is the relative. So this literally means, what that bhagawa. And if I've got this correctly, what it really means is, that bhagawa who, and then it describes all his virtues, and then it's going to talk about him later on, I think. But they can be quite complicated. So hung means that I. So is that, and hung comes from a hung, it's elided, so it should be so a hung. But you'll often see so hung. For most intents and purposes, you can just delete the word so, and it works fine. But it's a colloquial usage of this sort of idea. Anyway, maybe those are too confusing there. I just meant to show how confusing it can be and how complicated these yo-so stuff can be. But this one's pretty straightforward. It's just very common for them to say that which you sow, or what you sow, that you will reap. Or you reap that. No, what you sow, that you reap. In English, we just mix it up. In Pali as well, they'll mix it up, and you have to figure out. In Pali, you'd want to try and translate it in a more normal form like this to try and get a sense of what actually you're looking at. Because I think for foreign non-English speakers, this is a difficult sentence to understand the grammar of, right? It doesn't follow ordinary grammar. You reap that what you sow. This is all the object of the sentence. But technically it should be what you sow, that you reap. Okay. So, KYT, you're going to, because of this, you're going to see words like yasa, even kasa, kasming. You know, you'll see all of these forms just by using the T forms and turning them into Ks and Ys. No, sohang doesn't mean that. Sohang is together means the object, the subject of the sentence. It means that I, referring to a specific I. It's colloquial. It's not something we do in English, I don't think. There's another usage of this. If you talking about what is it? Indefinite, I think. Indefinite usage. The K plus G. So, not G. K plus G equals a sum. Or A. So it's an indefinite article, meaning like King G equals something. E.g. Actually, it would probably be kinchi, because king, the ang becomes a nya. Kinchi wadami. I say something. Energy equals by or with something. And you have ya plus ya plus ka plus chi equals whatever. So yang kinchi equals whatever. Yang kinchi kusala kamang. These are forms that you just have to remember because they don't, they're just, that's the way they're used. It's a colloquial usage of ya and ka. So not something you have to pay too much attention, but just put it in here as a reminder. The textbook I'm using goes into some detail with these things. I'm not going to bother too much with it, I don't think. We can just point it out when we get to the text. But the KYT system you have to know, and you have to know relative correlative. You have to know that that exists because we're going to run into it. So to get the concept is important. So now you have that concept. Is that clear?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we also have tumha and amha. You're going to come across them, but there's not much to say. Tumha is second person, amha is first person. Does it not say that anywhere? In here that these are persons are. Okay, now we are going to get into Sandhi. Sandhi means link, as has been put in brackets there, page 30. Sandhi means assimilation. For the purposes of flow and harmony, words are often combined or they affect each other. Three kinds of sandhi. Sara sandhi. Sara means a vowel. So sandhi that connects two vowels. Like here we have tatra and ayang. When you have the words tatra and ayang together, they often become tatra ayang. So that's not one word. And when you translate it, when you look them up in the dictionary, you have to separate them. You have to know that the technical sentence should be tatra ayang. But in the actual text, it's going to be tatra ayang. You can't look up tatra ayang in the dictionary. You have to look up tatra and ayang. Vyanjana is when the change involves consonants. Vyanjana meaning consonant. Chatu disa, here this example is the duplication of the D. So the D becomes duplicated, that's a form of sandhi. In this case, the purpose is for rhythm. Without the extra D, the rhythm of it would be chatu disa. But when you put the other D in there, it becomes chatu-disa. Chatu-disa. The U pauses when there's an extra D. That's all that it means. So for the in poetry, they mangle the words quite a bit and put a lot of unnecessary syllables in there just to fit rhythm. And when they do Pali composition in Thailand, at the higher levels of Pali study, they have to know all these rules of how to mangle the words in order to fit certain rhythms. Nigahita is when the change involves a nigahita. So A1-ko becomes A1-ko, as you saw above, yang kinchi, or the word kinchi. Kinchi, the king, the ing becomes a nya. You don't have to remember all this crazy stuff down here, these eight types, but knowing that these eight types can occur is important. So let's just go. Lopa, remove, you remove a letter. Adesa means you switch one letter for another letter. Agama means you just add one in there. Vikara means you change a vowel to another vowel. Pakati means there's no change. Diga means you lengthen, rasa shorten. And sanyoga, I don't know exactly. I can't quite remember the difference between all these. Anyway, we'll just give some examples. So with vowels, sometimes you take off one of the vowels. Yasa plus indriyani, you see we just take off the a. And we end up with yasindriyani. In the text it goes on about how you sometimes remove the first vowel, sometimes remove the last vowel. It's not actually, it's hard to find rules here. Rules don't always apply. As with, you know, language is a natural thing. It changes and it doesn't always follow rules. But it's important to keep in mind when you see yas indriyani, you remember that, ah yes, we can just remove a vowel, and that's quite common. Quite common to just remove a vowel. It's common to lengthen, to shorten. Right. Chattuhi appayehi, chattuha appayehi. If you saw this is Sandhi can be a bit of a nightmare. It's important to know because it can be quite a nightmare when you're doing translation. Otherwise you'd never find chattuha appayehi in the dictionaries. Ehi on the end there gives you a clue that this is a 3-2 form. It's instrumental, plural. Appaya. Appaya, the word appaya means realm of loss or state of loss. So the four, these chattu means four. Chattu being the adjective, it has to be conjugated or declined the same way as appaya. But chattu ends in a U. And in fact, chattu is irregular. It has its own form, but it anyway becomes chattuhi. And appayehi. So it's given the same 3-2 ending. Except then, because it's poetry, instead of chattuhi appayehi, it's chattuha appayehi. It's quite difficult to for a newcomer to spot, I would say. You get better at it. You get better once you know what the words mean and you recognize chattu and appaya. So when you see chattuha appayehi, you already know sort of what to look for, and you say, ah, we're talking probably about the four appaya, and yep, that's the 3-2 ending. Okay, got it. There should be another I in there. They've just taken one off. Wonder if that's where the word lop in English comes from. Adesa, so you change here. This is fairly rare. You don't see it that often. Oh no, the tyasa you do see. So something to keep in mind with Sara Sandhi is that there are connections between vowels. I think I mentioned this. You have the... Let's do it. Let's do a table here. table. Maybe we can worry about these. Okay, so we have the weak, strong, and super. I need more. How do I do this table?
You want one that goes down longer?
That's okay, I got it. So, table of related vowels. Yes. Actually, we should probably put a column. Let's see. I don't know. This isn't orthodox, but it is important. So the weak form a, e, and u, right? So a, the strong form is a. There's no super form and there's no consonant. The strong form of this is e. The super form is a, and the consonant is ya. Form is u. Super form is O, consonant is wa. So this is important because so that you can recognize the relationship. So scroll back up to Adesa, and you see te and asa becoming. I wonder if there should be another G here. I think there should be. Maybe, maybe not. I'll leave it because. Have that with me. Te aset tiasa. Okay, so te, the A and the ya are related. You're going to see this often where the A becomes ya. Ko asa. I don't think I have that here. Yeah, another one is yeah, ata ko asa. The O becomes wa. Hold these so it's clear. Kuasa is common. Ko is means indeed, it's just an emphatic particle. And asa means, could mean to him or to that thing or of that thing. Agama, I'm not quite sure what that's. I can't remember exactly why this is called agama, because agama means to add something, really. But you're not adding here, you're just turning the a into the o. I guess the point being that there's no relationship between a and o. Paro sahasa. Paro. It could be following mano. This is just an idiosyncrasy of the language to end letter, end words in O in the compounds. Vikara means to change, so we're changing E to A. Again, it's a little bit like Adesa. Right? Oh no, this is changing both of them together, right? Change the two of them together to an A, that also happened. Well, we have su plus a, u plus a become o. So this one is where you take both of them together and turn them into something different. A again, still having to do with the table that I just put below, they're still related. So U plus A becomes O. E plus A, or E plus A becomes A, because E and A are related. Bhakti is where nothing changes. I don't think Koimang should be one word, but it can be. A common one that you Saupadisesa is quite rare, but this is not Sao because there's no vowel. In Sanskrit you have the vowel Ao, but in Pali you don't have that vowel, and that's not what this is. That's not what this is. This is Sa'u, which is very rare. It shouldn't be allowed, really, but it's an idiosyncrasy of the language. Saupadisesa. Normally, A plus U, as you see above, become O, but here it doesn't. It's not Sopadisesa, it's Saupadisesa. And really, that's just sort of an exception to the rule. Vyanjana Sandhi, where you take off a consonant with lopa, where you change it, so iti ewang becomes ichewang. Again, these are all just, it's hard to find a rule here. It's just giving you examples of things that might happen to look out for. If you see ichewang, very hard to know that that came from iti, but iti does often become ich. So you get ichewang. And pati also, pati often becomes pachu, pach, pach. So pach plus, pati plus upana, pachupana. It's quite common. With agama, a little more. Agama can add any of these. So in the text, it gives these as the consonants that are added in. So you just add a consonant in there that doesn't really otherwise belong. This one, this last one is especially common. Tasma ahiha. Tasmatiha. The T is a very common one. Just adding a T or a D is also common. So with yata idang, you'd have yata idang. Garu esati, you add an M even though it doesn't really belong. Tasma iha. Don't remember what iha means. I think iha is just an emphatic particle. Iha might mean here. So you add a T in there for no reason. Atta atta. Atadatta, yeah, D is also common. Just add it in there. It can be for rhythm, it can be for flow. Right, sanyoga means doubling. So sanyoga is this doubling where you have a single P and you add an extra P in there. And here you have tanani. This should be that T. And with Nigahita Sandhi, you have four types. Just getting rid of it. Dasang Ahang becomes to get rid of the Ang, and then you put two A's together. Adesa is the most common one. It becomes the nasal. I talked about this, I think, the first day. The Nigahita changes to the... And it's related to the consonant, right? So it doesn't just switch to any of the nasals. It changes the nasal related to the next consonant. So the nasal related to ka is the N with a dot over it, ang. The C becomes nya, the nasal related to the ja waga. The ta with a dot under it, so it becomes an N with a dot under it. The N without the dot. E shouldn't become chiran pavisang. That should be M, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's hard to say exactly, but I'm pretty sure, because with a P it should be... It's quite common, actually, for, you know, ahambante. Ahambante, the ang becomes an M. Shouldn't become an N, pretty sure. Agama means adding a nigahita in between as well. Pakati means nothing happens. Right. And that's sandhi. Was that confusing?
A bit. Now, are there guidelines on how to make these changes? Or should we just know that if we recognize, you know, multiple root words in a word and it doesn't seem quite right, that it's probably one of these?
You have to kind of get a sense. As I said, you have to recognize words. The first part of a translation is to look at something, Pali translation especially, so look at a big word and recognize in it words. Like if you look at saupadisesa, it's very difficult to see where the word parts are. But you... really... really, it's three parts, sa, upadi, and sesa. But you could, you know, upadi, sesa, you could look up in the dictionary. But yeah, with sandhi, it's about trying to find two words in one or more and figure out what's missing or what's been changed. Well, I pointed out that really the best way is to study the language and get a sense of when and how it's used. Most common, I think, is the vowels that change. Vowels becoming longer, two vowels being added together. When you have a plus a, it becomes a plus e. Sometimes the e becomes e, u becomes u, this kind of thing. You just keep with the table and you'll have a sense of... because a plus e will not become u or o, the wrong part, wrong row, wrong group.
So a word ending with a and another word starting with a would become a.
It won't become a super long a. It'll just become a long a.
Okay, thank you.
It can also shorten. You know, a long A can become a short A. That's rare, but it does happen. Usually in poetry when they need to fit it in. Anyway, most important is that you know that it happens and you know the get an idea of the various types that can happen. Then let's just start looking at the text. Let's spend a little bit of time doing some translation, though.
That sounds good.
Okay, here's the document. Okay, we're on page 3. We're doing the last paragraph. No, we're doing the paragraph starting with Atasa. So what has happened? This man has just made his vow to this tree that he saved and cleaned up. that if he gets a son or a daughter, he will do some great ceremony for the tree. The point of that story is, we're going to see in this paragraph, the only reason for telling that story is to give you an idea of where Chakupala got his name. He got his name because, well, we'll learn in this paragraph why, how he got his name. It has to do with the tree. Okay, starts with the word atassa, and lucky us, we have an example of sandhi right off the bat. Okay, so as Pali scholars, we know that the word atta is a word. We know that atta often starts a sentence. And we know the word asa is fairly common as well. Asa is an irregular form. It should be tassa. Tassa means of him or his. Tassa. But asa is also fairly common, unfortunately. It's an irregular form. Sometimes hard to remember that it should be, that it's a 6-1 form. We're on page 3. So atta tassa would be more familiar to us, but it's atta asa. Atta plus asa becomes atassa. But those two words don't have anything to do with each other. They have to be translated at different times, but because they're side by side, they just flow. They've been put together. Don't make the mistake that these words have to have some, they don't have anything to do with each other. Atta, we begin with. Atta means then. Atta has various meanings, but basically it means then. We translate that first. We say then, meaning after what happened in the last paragraph. And then we're going to translate this part. Not chira seva, because it has to do with time. Chira means a long time. The word chira means a long time. Chirasa is a colloquial form because it's, I'm not sure if it's 4-1 or 6-1, but it means, I think 6-1 actually, of a long time. But really it should be a 7-1 form. It should mean in a long time, right? In English we would say in a long time. But in Pali, this happens as well, where they use the wrong case because it's a colloquial form. So in Thai, they just say it's a sixth form, a genitive form, but should be translated as, in this case, a seventh form. And then we have not before it, which means not. So not chirasa means in no long time. Ewa is an emphatic particle, and here we have again an instance of sandhi. See, already seeing how common it is. So this is jirasa plus ewa, two words one after the other. Ewa, this happens all the time with ewa, it's just stuck on the end of a word. No relation to the word necessarily, but for flow, it sounds better to say jirasa ewa than jirasa ewa. So you just say jirasa ewa. Here, in fact, it does relate to the word jirasa. It means indeed in no long time. You just usually don't translate ewa, which is unfortunate because it adds something. Might you say this, if you wanted to translate with some license, you would say in a very short time, using ewa to mean very. In no very long time, you could say. We still haven't translated asa, and this is important to keep in mind. Sometimes when you translate these, you want to write the sentence out and start crossing off words that you've already used, so you know which ones you haven't used and don't forget them. On exams, that's important, because if you miss a word when you're doing translations, you lose marks. So just to make sure you've caught everything, because it'll happen. You'll translate a sentence and you missed an adjective. So we have to remember we haven't used asa. I may make mistakes here as well. There's a few. I have to go over this again because someone pointed out a few mistakes in this text. So I'm not entirely sure about this, but pretty sure that asa goes with bariyaya. Yeah, it must be here. But it could be to him instead of for him, because asa and bariyaya should normally go side by side. If it's a 6-1 form, it should be his. And Bariya means wife. Anyway, we're not there yet. Before we get there, we've taken out Atta and Natchiraseva, which means then, in no long time. Now we have to find the subject of the sentence. The subject here is Gabba. Gabbo, right? The O on the end gives away that this was Gabba and became Gabbo, so we can look up in our dictionary Gabba. And Gabba will mean fetus. Or embryo. So let's just leave it there. We have the embryo patitasi. Pati means specifically. Tasi comes from the verb ta, which means to stand. And si, the ending asi, or si, is a past tense. So this is third person past tense. Meaning stood. Patitasi means became established. Or stood specifically. Something like that. The pati changes the meaning to mean instead of stand. Means to become established. So it became established where? Here's where I have kuchiyang, kuchiya. Kuchi means stomach or womb in this case. Kuchiyang, iyang is the feminine 7-1 ending. So kuchiyang means in the stomach. Bariyaya is the 6-1 form of wife. So it means of the wife or the wife's stomach. And then we translate asa, of him. So we would translate this in our class as the womb became established in the stomach of the wife of him. But really we should translate it as his wife's stomach, right? Because that's even the Pali word order. His wife's stomach. And then in no long time, in his wife's stomach, a embryo became established. Okay, let's see if I can get you all involved here a little bit. Can you help me to translate this? What's this first word in the next sentence? Is anyone still awake? What's this first little two-letter word here? Da is the 1-1 form of da in its feminine form. If you go back to the pronoun da, you'll see that it for a 1-1 masculine is so and a 1-1 feminine is sa. So sa means she, or that feminine thing. She, I guess. So she is referring to who? Referring to the wife, right? That's the kind of a clue that we look for when we do our translations.
So she, and then we're going to look for a verb, and we have this verb. It's not a verb, but it's a past participle that serves as a verb and gives us our first section. This is our first section. Nyatwa means having learned, having known, actually. Nya is like the word jnana, you know, the word jnana. Or panya. Panya is pa plus nya. Nya is the root, pa just means it's a strengthening prefix. Nyatwa means having known. But it really means having come to know, or once she knew, that kind of thing. What did she know? Can you guess? What is this gabasa? Any idea?
Asa is the fourth version of ta, but that doesn't make sense.
Asa is an ending. It's a declension. Like purisa. Purisa has purisasa. Yes, means of the embryo, or the embryos with apostrophe s on the end. So she knew of the she knew, what did she know? Something. She knew the embryo's something. Now what was the embryo's something that she knew? Let's cut this here. Patitita, what does that look like? Looks very similar to the verb in the last sentence, right? Except now, ta has become a past participle. Ta becomes tita. And so you have the having, or the being stood or established. The fact of it being, or the patita means established with a D on the end, right? It's a past participle. So we're talking about the established embryo. Bhava means state. Or existence comes from the verb bu, which means to exist or to be. But this is a common add-on in a compound. Bhava means the state. Or you might translate this whole thing as establishment. But literally it would be the state of being established. He knew the state of being established of the embryo. So she knew the embryo's establishment. Meaning she knew that she was pregnant. This is what it means to say. I'm not convinced about this dasa arojisi, but it either means to him, she told it to him, but I didn't realize that's how you say this. It may very well be. Arojisi is past form of arojati, means to let someone know. I thought it would just be dung in the sense of telling him. And I got the sense that this might be told him. Yes, it's true. Dasa told that to him. Dasa is a 4-1 in that case. So you tell something to someone, I guess. she told him. Once she found out about it, she told him. So, what does so mean? So is, again, the one-one form of that, but it's masculine. So we're talking about he. It's the subject of the sentence. So this is a normal sentence. We start with the subject, so means he, and then we end with the verb. Here we have a little bit of sandhi action going on, so it should be, really it should be pariharang adasi. But quite common for us to just lump them together, oops, and turn the nigihita into an M, pariharam adasi. Kalamakasi. I'm going to just turn it into an M. Adasi comes from the root da, to give. A is common for past forms. He is third person singular. So adasi means he gave. Parihara means the care, I believe. With giving care, pari means full, you know. Complete care. Ara means taking or something, or carrying. Parihara means... Now, parihara is a word that means care. What did he give care? To the womb, to the embryo, or for the embryo of her. Dasa. Dasa, this is 6-1. So he gave complete care to her. This is asa here means to. It's a 4-1. What did he give care? He gave care to the womb. Her, to her womb. So these are not actually, these don't actually agree in case. Dasa is 6-1. Gambasa is 4-1. So when you give care to someone, he is 4-1. And this is the thing that belongs to her. So it's 6-1, her. Her. He gave to her womb. To the womb of her. Sa again means she. Again, an ordinary sentence. Vijayi means past tense of vijayati, I believe. Vijayati, vijayati, probably. Vijayati means to give birth. She gave birth, utang, to a son, or she birthed a son. And here, this is a another form of telling time is to choose a 3-1 form. Ena. Ena is a 3-1 ending. And here we have one of our first long compounds. Dasa means 10, masa means month. And again, we have sandhi because this should be masa achayena. But masa achayena becomes masa achayena. Achaya means ending. So this means altogether by, or in English we would say, well, I guess we could say by the time of the ending. Achayena, by the time of the ending of 10 months. Dasa is 10, masa is month, so 10 months. Dasa masa achayena means, dasa masa achaya means the ending of 10 months. Ena by the ending of the 10 months, she gave birth to a son. So after 10 months, she gave birth to a son. Next sentence, we have a problem because this is not the the subject of the sentence. Could be, if it was a neuter, the neuter form of da is dang. But that's not what it means here. So this is an uncommon sentence. Dang. No, Vijayi is past tense. It means gave birth to. Putta means a son. So she gave birth to a son. Ah, right. Now I remember. Okay, this is a difficult sentence, actually. But it's a common difficulty in Pali with this here. This here makes it difficult. And I'm not sure if it's going to be totally clear off the bat. So Divase, the A here is a 7-1, means on the day. 7-1 again being locative, so it's a location on or in. So on the day, it's a way of talking about time, 7-1. On the day, and then you say of, but the of goes with gahana. So gahana should be 6-1. So the taking, gahana means taking. On the day of, but then you have to put this in there. Dang. Dang is actually 2-1. Before you say gahana, you say on the day of him taking a name. But dang is not, it's not of him. It's not a, dang is not 6-1. So the 6-1 goes with gahana, which is why this looks weird. It is weird. On the day of him taking nama, which is a name. Because normally you'd expect this would be dasa. Dasa nama gahana, you would say. On the day of taking a name of him. But it's you often have this screwy tense here, where you have to take this word and insert it somewhere in the middle here as you're translating. So on the day of him taking a name. It's hard to otherwise make sense of this. You stick the tongue in the middle without inserting it with the of. But what this means is on his naming day, on the day of him taking a name. So all that out of the way, we can translate that first because it's all to do with time. It's giving you a sense of when. And here we have the subject of the sentence, Seti. Seti is a 1-1 form of Seti, which means Seti, which is actually a long I. But in a 1-1 form, it can also be short. If that's a mistake, actually, but I think it's correct. Seti. What did the Seti do? Another difficult part of the sentence, because we have to go way to the back and then start translating this complicated part here. Actually, the complicated part is here. Okay, so the Seti made, Akasi is past tense form of the verb kar. The A in the beginning signifies past tense. Also, the E on the end or the C on the end. Yeah, that's a common past tense. So Akasi means he made. He made the name. And here's an example of iti without the quotations. So in English, we'd like to see it like this. It'd make it much easier for us, but we don't. It's not always going to be there. Balo. So he made the name of Bala. He made the name thus, or in quotations, Bala. Balo is a 1-1 form. Bala. Thus that for him or of him, he made his name Bala. That's what the sentence is saying. He gave him the name, in this case made the name for him Bala. This part here is telling you why he made that name. So this here is a 5-1 form. Long A, normally, I think it's a 5-1. Pretty sure that's a 5-1 masculine form.
Dante, the name was Pala, but it's written Palo, so is the name in a declension? I don't understand that.
Yeah, the name is in a declension. Remember that inside the quote, which that word is, that single word is inside quotations, so it's a whole sentence in and of itself. And that's just how they say it.
Okay, Palo, thank you.
Palo is the subject of the sentence. It's also the only... You can't really translate that sentence as anything other than Pala. If you want to extrapolate, what the sentence really means is the name Pala. Palo, what does it mean? It means the name Pala. Okay, so this is 5-1, meaning because. I think 5-1 is because. So, ladatta. Lada is past form gained. Atta is the state. Atta is what you add on the ending of a word when you want to talk about the state. So, ladatta means the state of having gained. Or the state of gained. The state of being gained, of something that is gained, gotten, the state of being gotten. So Pala was gotten. So the state of Pala having been gotten, the state of the son having been gotten. Why was he given that name? Because he was gotten. Nisaya is... It's a special form of the dwa, if I remember correctly. Anyway, nisaya means dependent on. Leave it there. It's indeclinable, means dependent on. Because he was gotten dependent upon the Vanapati, means the lord of the forest. And the lord of the forest, this is an adjective describing that lord of the forest. The lord of the forest that was cared for, or was, what is Pali? Pali means protected. He was gotten, he was named that because of the state of having been gotten, dependent upon the lord of the forest that was protected by the self. Attana is a 3-1 form of atta. Again, atta is irregular. But na is a fairly common 3-1 form anyway, so it's not hard to see. Attana means by the self. By himself in this case. But you don't usually say himself, you just say the self, and it refers to him. Doesn't mean that his soul got the tree, it just means by him. So what does this mean? Pretty clear, right? The on his naming day, the boy's naming day, the Sati, the rich man, made his name Bala because of the state of being gotten, the state of the boys being gotten, dependent upon the Lord of the Forest, who he protected. So you see the connection here is in the word Balita. Balita means protected. Bala means protector, actually. One who protects. So they gave him the name Bala for that reason. I'm going to stop there. We're over an hour. Is that interesting? How was that?
It's good, but it's difficult in the translation part. There's just...
Is it too daunting? Should we skip the translation for now, or is this...
No, I mean, the translation is interesting, but I think for myself, I think I just need to learn more vocabulary because... Yeah. You know, not enough of these are familiar enough for me to even, you know, have a clear sense of what we're talking about.
But the funny thing is in Thailand, which surprised me, they don't learn any vocabulary. They don't do vocabulary learning. They do this. And they learn the vocabulary as they translate. They'll do it themselves. See, they'll take this book, once they have the grammar down, and they'll take this part and the third part, the word by word part. If you look down below where I've got the bold and the not bold, and they'll just do it, you know, and they'll quickly get it.
I have to give them so much credit. I just can't get a good enough sense of what we're talking about to even have a, you know, to even take a stab at it.
I think it comes with time. And some people are really good at it. Some people, it depends on the type of person, but I don't imagine you'll have a problem. It's daunting, yeah, in the beginning, but also your grammar is not, you guys don't know a lot of grammar. It would help if you were memorizing the paradigms, which I'm assuming no one is, but yeah, I mean, you're not. I don't expect you to know any of this. I expect you to start to try to recognize things, recognize endings, recognize forms, which I think is coming. No, some of them. Ana, you should. Asa, you should start to get the asa ending. Ana, you should start to become familiar. O endings, these kind of things. That's much more important. Because vocabulary, you can always look it up in the dictionary, if necessary. That's what the digital Pali reader was for. It was meant to help you with vocabulary because there's no expectation that the students should know vocabulary. There's an expectation that they should be able to figure out the grammar once they have the vocabulary. So the digital Pali reader lets you click on a word and tell you what the word means, but you have to figure out the vocabulary for yourself, or the grammar for yourself.
I haven't been using that. That might be really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to follow me along while you're using the version in the digital Pali reader, that might be good. It's the if you go to the in the digital Pali reader in the Kudaka Nikaya, the Dhammapada, and then click on commentary, it's the second section, first section in the Yamaka Vaga, the Chakupala Theravata. In fact, if you have it installed, this might work, where you just click on this link or put this link into Firefox. Oh, wait, that analysis, so that's not important. Analysis part. This may work if you just put it into Firefox, with the digital Pali reader installed, of course. Yeah, it works for me.
Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. See you next week.
Sadhu, Bhante.
Sadhu.
Sadhu, Bhante. Thank you, Bhante. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. See y'all next week.